Chapter 1. Break on through to the other side. The afternoon of December 12, 1982, was clear and beautiful as I delivered Walt Bone to his death. Bone was my karate instructor, close friend, and mentor. He was 39 and I was his cocky 21-year-old protege and highest-ranking black belt. From 1978 to 1982, we taught karate together at the St. Petersburg Junior College, or SPJC, and at the Florida Karate Academy, FKA, in Seminole, Florida. From my first class on February 12, 1974, I knew that I wanted to be a karate instructor. After 4 years of training hard, I earned my black belt in the summer of 1978 at age 17. Walt Bone hired me the following week to teach karate for $5 a class. He was a national karate champion who was highly respected and recognized in the martial arts world. As a young, budding black belt, I couldn't have asked for a better martial arts mentor. Walt Bone was an excellent karate teacher who was totally, some would even say fanatically, committed to his students. For the previous 4 years, I had the privilege of standing by his side class after class. Like a sponge, I was soaking in everything he taught and did. On a typical weekday, we would teach the college kids at SPJC from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. and then go to a local restaurant and eat from the buffet for lunch. He would always pay for my meal, and we'd spend the time discussing the classes, the students, and life in general. Mostly, he did the talking, and I just nodded. After lunch, we part ways for a few hours and reunite at the FKA to teach the evening classes. After that, we'd often end the day with beers at his favorite watering hole, Clancy's in St. Petersburg, Florida. Walt had an alluring, charismatic energy about him that endeared him to many people. He was a leader of men, but never shied away from pitching in to help out a buddy. He would be the first one to volunteer to help set up the nets for volleyball, help to fix a deck or patch a roof. Sometimes he would volunteer my brothers, Jim and Mark, and me, but we never minded. Well, rarely minded. Walt was a sincere friend. He would shake your hand, put his other hand on your shoulder, and look you dead in the eyes and listen. Really listen when you spoke. He loved life, yet there was one thing that seriously haunted him. He hated the idea of getting old. He was in great shape, he had a playful attitude about life, and he was fearless, yet the idea of getting old terrified him. Walt truly dreaded the passing of each year. To this day, I've never met anyone who feared aging more than Walt Bone. In the Stephen King book, The Stand, there's a black crow perched on the periphery of the dark scenes in the story. Age was Walt Bone's black crow. On one particular day, I was to pick up Walt at his home in Seminole. Seminole is one of those nice little towns that no one hears about unless you live in the area. Walt was flying home to Dallas for the holidays and asked me to take him to the airport. As I pulled up to Walt's modest home and started to park in the street, he raised his hand like a traffic cop, stopped me, and yelled, "Hold on, I'll pull the van out." He pulled his black van out so I could park my dented green Maverick in his driveway. My car didn't have a radio, nor did it have any air conditioning, but it got me from point A to point B, and that was all I cared about. Our deal for me playing airport taxi was that I would chauffeur him to the airport and then get to drive the Bonemobile while he was gone. That meant about 2 weeks of luxury, air-conditioned van time with all the conveniences of modern driving. It was like my dad loaning me his car, but without the curfew. The path to the airport took us across the landmark Howard Franklin Bridge, aka the Frankenstein, to the locals. In those days, it was a narrow four-lane bridge spanning 3 miles across beautiful Tampa Bay, which is connected to the Gulf of Mexico. When you're flying out of Tampa International Airport, crossing the bridge is like passing through a relaxing, beautiful corridor that helps to relax you into your journey. When you return, you're greeted with a beautiful panoramic vista that instantly reminds you that there's no place like home. We were cruising across the bridge listening to Walt's favorite band, The Doors. The wind rushed in the open windows, delivering a humid scent of seawater and a clear view of the bay, which was active with boats, jet skis, and people fishing. I was driving, and for the most part of the ride, Walt just looked out the window, bobbing his head to the music, enjoying the scenery, and playing finger drums on the door. Occasionally, he would harass me about my driving or lay out instructions for me to take care of his house and his dog. Walt loved to harass people, but in a fun way. He had his own vocabulary of playful insults like turkey breath, a maroon, think Bugs Bunny, or a peckerhead. Don't think about that one at all. We arrived at the airport. I jumped out to help him with his luggage. We shook hands, half-hugged, said our farewells, and off he went. But as I drove back to my home in St. Petersburg, I couldn't shake the feeling that something wasn't right. Despite the clear skies outside, an undercurrent of dread was spawning inside of me, but I had no idea what it was or where it came from. It was like that black crow was following me in the van that was still blaring the doors. Break on through to the other side, yeah. The drive took about 45 minutes, and when I got home, my roommate Rick was there. Rick and I met in the karate school when I was about 14, and he was my closest friend. He worked for the cable company and was relaxing after work watching the news. He asked if everything went okay with the drop-off. I said sure, but then I thought for a moment and then it hit me like a punch you never see coming. I told him point blank, I'll never see him again. Walt Bone died in a plane crash 10 days later.